This is Finding Center, a daily half hour of spiritual focus. Today on Finding Center, we'll hear a BYU Idaho campus devotional address by Elder Aaron T. Hall, titled Becoming is a Joyful Challenge. It was given March 3, 2026.
In his first worldwide address to members of the church, the Lord's prophet stated, "As your leader, I pray for what our Heavenly Father wants for each of us, and that is to become or become active members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, proceeding forward on the covenant path into the eternities. I love and sustain President Dallin H. Oaks and rejoice in his teachings. There are two words in his recent address that have been a focus throughout President Oaks' ministry: to be and to become. To highlight this point, in the October 2000 General Conference, President Dallin H. Oaks shared a remarkable message titled, "The Challenge to Become." For me, his timeless counsel has shaped my path of discipleship, reminding me that becoming is at the very heart and purpose of our mortal experience. Among his powerful teachings in that message, President Oaks shared, "In contrast to the institutions of the world, which teach us to know something, the gospel of Jesus Christ challenges us to become something. So here at BYU Idaho, you are experiencing the best of both worlds, learning and coming to know something, and learning by study and faith, helping you to become something. Academically, we're all pursuing a chosen field of study that will help you in your professional aspirations. Eternally, your time here at BYU Idaho, and forever, can strengthen a foundation that allows the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform you into the sons and daughters of God you were created to become." As the title of President Oaks' message intentionally teaches, becoming is not a walk in the park. It is a challenge. As fallen mortal men and women, we often fill the gap between who we know we are supposed to be and who we are today. We fall short, we make poor choices, and the adversary works tirelessly to convince us that we'll never measure up. When our progress is slower than expected, or when we feel like we take more steps backwards than we take forwards, it can be easy to feel like the challenge to become is beyond us, let alone joyful. I have felt that, and perhaps you have too. When those thoughts enter my mind, I take comfort in a revelation given to the prophet Joseph, where the Lord declares, "I will be merciful unto your weakness." With this assurance, I have learned something beautiful. Becoming is not only a challenge, it is a joyful challenge, and one that fills my soul with gratitude. Think of it. At the heart of God's fabulous plan of happiness is our eternal progression and the opportunity to become like Him. He sees infinitely more in us than we can possibly comprehend, and He yearns for us to trust in His plan. At the center of the Father's plan is His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. The Savior not only invites us to become as He is, but He also pleads with us to receive Him, to take His yoke upon us, and to walk with Him. The joy of becoming is never a path that we walk alone. Through His atonement, we receive His grace, His divine help and strength. And throughout the scriptures, we are reassured that His grace is sufficient for all of us. To illustrate the joy and process of becoming, I would like to share a personal experience. And as I share this experience, I want you to think about gospel principles that are taught. And I also invite you to ponder how the Savior's divine help is strengthening you in your joyful challenge to become. Years ago, I was invited to participate in a local triathlon. As some of you know, a triathlon consists of three disciplines: swimming, cycling, and running. Having been a runner and an occasional cyclist, I thought, why not? And I accepted the invitation. The race was a few months away, so I organized my schedule to make time for training, running, and cycling. Running and cycling came more naturally, but I quickly discovered that I was not a swimmer. While others glided effortlessly through the water, I felt like I was swimming uphill. Just a few laps in the pool left me feeling exhausted, and the thought of swimming more than a half a mile in my first race felt overwhelming and even impossible. I could almost imagine the headlines. Man who couldn't swim drowns in local triathlon. What was he thinking? Thank you, AI. Still, I pressed on and I kept going to the pool. After months of consistent training, my fitness and technique began to improve. When the race day arrived, I felt as ready as I could be. My first triathlon experience was far from easy, but I completed the race. I wasn't the fastest, but I learned, and I found it to be something that I actually enjoyed. After a few years of competing in shorter races, I set my sights on something far more challenging. I had watched Ironman races on television and was captivated by stories of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. An Ironman full triathlon is swimming 2.4 miles, then riding 112 miles, and then to just have more joy, run a full 26.2 mile marathon, all within a 17-hour time limit. Each year, Ironman race organizers spotlighted a few athletes who shared inspiring stories of overcoming adversity, injury, illness, and doubt. Their commitment, grit, and determination were incredibly inspiring to me. You may have seen videos of exhausted competitors crawling on hands and knees or rolling across the finish line with only seconds to spare. But as every and each participant crosses the finish line, the announcer calls out their name and proclaims, "You are an Ironman." Inspired by their stories, I signed up for my first Ironman race in sunny Panama City Beach, Florida. I set goals, created a plan, and committed to a rigorous training program. To prepare, I enrolled in an adult swim class to improve my technique. I bought a better bike and endured mile after training mile. Some days were great, other days were pure misery, but the weeks and months passed by, and before I knew it, I stood at the starting line with 2,600 new friends. The swim portion of the race was a mass start, meaning everyone enters the water at the same time. Chaos is the only way to describe it. There is really no way to prepare for it. Gone are the lane lines at the bottom of the pool and the comfort of calm and clear water. For the first 500 meters, athletes swam over my back, kicked from all and every direction as we all tried to find space. To add to the challenge that day, we were met with 2-foot ocean swells that pushed against us while we tried to stay within the race course. In the midst of it all, I repeated to myself, "I can do this," and a phrase that you're all familiar with, "just keep swimming." The swim was divided into 2 laps, 1.2 miles, then a short beach run along the beach, then jump right back into the water for the final 1.2 miles. My training and swimming lessons had paid off, and despite the unexpected challenges, I gratefully completed the swim. I remained in the race, and gratefully, I was still alive. Now, I invite you to ponder with me for just a moment. In your joyful challenge to become, do you ever find yourself swimming in deep water? And how has the Savior helped you to just keep swimming? Next up was the 112-mile bike ride under the warm Florida sun. I felt strong, I had fueled well, and I was right on pace until my joyful challenge to become happened. 18 miles in on the ride, I felt my back tire begin to wobble, and I knew immediately what that meant. A flat tire. My bike was equipped with what's called tubular tires, very reliable, but unforgiving if something goes wrong. If you can't get air back into them, your race day is over. Prepared for this, possibility, I stopped and I reached for a CO2 cartridge. And as I began to inflate the tire, the adapter broke in my hand, instantly releasing all of the air. In that moment, horror filled my soul. I had no way to fix the tire. Athletes speeding by offered sympathy, but couldn't share their supplies any more than the wise virgins could share their oil in their lamps. Understanding the reality of my situation, I faced a decision. My race day could be over, or I could run with my bike nearly 2 miles to the next aid station and hope for a miracle. I chose to race on and began running with my bike. When I reached the aid station, I offered what must have been my 1,000th prayer and began pumping air into my tire. Miraculously, the tire pressure held. Relieved and grateful, I was back in the race. After this unexpected test, I assumed the hardest part of my day was behind me. But I then learned that my joyful challenge to become was far from over. 96 miles into the ride, my seat suddenly shifted and broke, angling sharply upward, making it no longer comfortable to ride or sit in an aerodynamic position. I had passed the last aid station and was now riding straight into the coastal headwinds. The race was already hard, but this seemed ridiculously unfair. Again, I had another decision to make. I had not come this far to only come this far. I would keep pedaling. I would finish. And I would ride the next 16 miles in comfortably. Now again, take a moment to ponder with me. In your joyful challenge to become, are you experiencing moments that feel like flat tires, broken seats, or relentless headwinds? In those times, how has the Savior helped you to keep pedaling on? They say that the swim and the bike are simply a warm-up for the run. Running is normally my strength, or at least it was for the first few miles. Soon, cramping, exhaustion, and you can see by the smile on my face in this photo, heat took their toll. The race is meant to be hard, but this was a new level of suffering for me. But in my suffering, there was help. Aid stations, fellow athletes, spectators, and family who became the wind in my sails. My sweetheart, who I love, Kim, knows that there's one simple thing that helps me reset during a race: brushing my teeth. Now, this may sound a little bit crazy or strange to you, but washing away the taste of gels and sports drinks gives me a fresh start and a new beginning. Halfway through the run, there she was, toothbrush in hand. That clean and minty feeling renewed me. To quiet my mind and keep going, I ran with other athletes. I walked through aid stations, hugged spectators willing to hug me back, and kept putting one foot in front of the other. I knew that if I focused on others, I would forget about myself, and I'd just simply keep going. Again, I invite us to ponder this question. In your joyful challenge to become, how have the Savior and others cheered you on, lifted you, comforted you, and helped you keep running? As I approached the finish line and heard the cheers of the crowd, Alma's words took on new meaning to me. And oh, what joy and marvelous light I did behold. Yea, my soul was filled with joy, as exceeding was my pain. The pain of that race was real, but the joy of finishing that race completely swallowed it up. As I crossed the finish line, the announcer shouted, "Aaron Hall, you are an Ironman." It was emotional, unforgettable, and a joyful moment. Every hour of training, every setback, every ounce of pain had been worth it. I had become an Ironman. I have since gone on to do many more races with their unique challenges, but no less gratifying. Through these racing experiences, I have learned that there is joy in training, joy in the unknown, joy in stopping at aid stations, joy in being lifted, joy in lifting others, and joy in the entire journey of becoming. The finish line brings joy, but the process of transformation is where the real joy is found. I will admit, in my joyful challenge to become, there are days where I would much rather have an easy path, calm waters, smooth roads, and the wind at my back. My reality and yours is that our joyful challenge to become is meant to try us, prove us, and help us prepare for the eternities to come. So I ask this question. If we have any hope of coming under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, do we really want a path of comfort and ease? President Eyring shared this counsel from his mother. If you are on the right path, it will always be uphill. With those words in our minds, please take comfort in knowing that when your joyful challenge to become includes waves crashing against you, flat tires, broken seats, strong headwinds, and the heat and the exhaustion of the day, these experiences are shaping you into who the Lord knows you can become. President Eyring also recently taught, proving moments are not evidence that the Lord has abandoned you. Rather, they are evidence that he loves you enough to refine and strengthen you. In 2 Nephi, the words of the Lord fill us with encouragement in our joyful effort to become. I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more. I have experienced the Lord's willingness and patience to teach me line upon line and precept upon precept. One of the most joyous experiences Sister Hall and I had as parents and now as grandparents was helping our children take their first steps. Step by wobbly step, our little ones learned and became walking toddlers. Our Heavenly Father and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, are helping and guiding us and guiding you in the same way. Sometimes the Lord is waiting to catch you when you fall. Sometimes he is patiently waiting for you to act and learn from your choices. Sometimes he sits and cries with you. Sometimes he's giving you counsel, even chastisement to help you improve and repent. He encircles you in the arms of his eternal love, always and forever, to help you know that you can do this because you are his work and his glory. God's plan is a plan of joy and hope. As we turn to him, make and keep covenants with him, we cannot fail. In the joyful challenge to become, we can press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, regardless of the unexpected difficulties and trials we face. During this precious time here at BYU Idaho, give your best to become who the Lord knows who you can become. Stay in the race. Do all you can. And in the moments where you're unsure, trust in the Lord. Be patient. And remember that he is merciful in your weakness. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland expressed it best. Keep trying. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Keep growing. Heaven will be cheering you on today, tomorrow, and forever. Remember, there are aid stations, family, friends, bishops, living prophets to help us on our journey to become. And let us be patient, as President Oakes recently taught. We are all a work in progress. We are all at different places on what President Nelson called the covenant path. We need to be patient with one another and occasionally even with ourselves. I would also remind you what he recently taught, that we focus on becoming joyful disciples of Jesus Christ, that we are joyfully humble, that we are joyfully surrounding ourselves with those who will seek out truth and who desire to live it, and that we can joyfully be patient. Above all, remember that the enabling and cleansing power of the Savior and his atonement will help you do what is seemingly impossible. I share my witness that Jesus Christ is the reason we can joyfully take on the challenge to become. It is only through him and his atoning sacrifice that becoming is possible. In Moroni's words, yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. His grace is sufficient, and it is by his grace that we will become as he is. What I hope for as I run the race of mortality is not to be remembered for the races I've run, but how I've been transformed through the process of running the race. As President Oakes taught, the final judgment is not just an evaluation of a sum total of good and evil acts, what we've done. It is an acknowledgement of the final effects of our acts and thoughts, what we have become. I invite you to find joy in your BYU Idaho experience, not only in what you come to know, but in who you are becoming. In the end, through the Savior Jesus Christ, we are all striving to become better sons and daughters of God, better disciples, and more like him. When we finish our joyful challenge to become, I hope we will hear the crowds cheering, feel life's challenges and pain swallowed up in the joy of Christ, and most importantly, find that through his grace, we have become who he wants us to become. It is my prayer that we will recognize that becoming is a joyful challenge, and that one day we will hear our names lovingly called, feel arms open to receive us, and the tender words, "You are my beloved child. Welcome home." My dear brothers and sisters, God is our loving Heavenly Father. His perfect plan is a plan of progression and becoming. His perfect plan has been made perfect because of his perfect Son. I testify of the Savior Jesus Christ. He is our Savior and Redeemer, and he lives. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen.
You've been listening to Finding Center. Join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Mountain, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, for a half hour of inspiration and recentering. Today we heard Becoming is a Joyful Challenge by Elder Aaron T. Hall. Find a link to the full text, audio, and video of this address at byuradio.org/findingcenter. Finding Center is a production of BYU Broadcasting.